Welcome to Growing Hope with Katherine Lang, coming to you from the rolling hills of Big Spring Valley in beautiful Alabama. Katherine Lang offers words of encouragement and hope to help grow up lives boldly pursuing peace and joy. Katherine seeks out the rainbows of life while sharing her lollipops of encouragement along her journey. Here on Growing Hope, she features words to help hope and grow courage, all while challenging herself and listeners to radical choices and bold purpose. This is Growing Hope with Katherine Lang, where we are growing hearts open to pursue the extraordinary. And now, here's your host, Katherine Lang.
Hello, and welcome to Growing Hope, where we are investing just a few moments to grow up hearts open to pursue the extraordinary. I am Katherine Lang, and I am your rainbows and lollipops host because I know that if you dance long enough, it will eventually rain. Sometimes you just have to dance longer than others. Now, I started dancing, not for rain purposes, mind you, but just for the sheer joy of dancing, when I was only 7 years old. I found out recently that I was in the first dance class that participated with that particular instructor, and she's still teaching today. And I continued with classes with her all the way through high school and eventually taught ballroom dancing in college as well. Now, every year while I was in high school, we ended the year with a recital. One year, my friend and I decided to perform a duet on top of all the other dances we were already scheduled to dance. On the night of the recital, and I remember this like it was yesterday, the music started, but I was not in the best position to hear it. I missed the cue. Because I couldn't hear, I went out on stage 2 beats early. Now, for a dancer, 2 beats is more like a lifetime. I danced like I was on time, though, which really messed up my friend, who danced on time and looked like she was off time because I stepped on the stage first, all because I couldn't hear or I didn't choose to listen close enough. Hearing is a valuable sense, not just for dancing, but for growing and fostering relationships as well. I was sitting in the movie theater with my husband watching Back to the Future. Now, this was the original showing, so you can imagine how far back we had to go to get to the future. Actually, the future's now, according to the movie, but I digress. We were sitting there watching the movie, but I was thinking about this amazing guy sitting next to me, and I spouted the words, "I love you." It was the first time I said the words, and I said them without really thinking about them. And his amazing and touching response to my declaration, "What?" Yes, "What?" Just in case you weren't listening the first time. Because apparently he wasn't. Or at least that's what I thought. He says he heard me, but he was in shock. I heard his response as he wasn't listening to me. And I just said, "Never mind." That was my new response. What we hear makes a big difference in what happens next. Husbands and wives can be great examples for listening, for good examples and for bad examples. Several years later, my husband and I were sitting together on the couch watching another show when the commercial break started, and he turned to me and said, "I don't think I like you anymore. Sometimes I don't even like to be around you." I have literally written a book based on this encounter, but when I was sharing the story recently, it dawned on me that maybe I had heard him wrong, or maybe I took the words that he shared and I turned them into something that I thought he meant or that I thought he said. It's very possible and maybe even likely that I just didn't hear what he meant for me to hear. Sometimes the words that we hear are not said the way we hear them. Most of the time, we think of hearing as a one-dimensional sense, but there are a number of components to skilled hearing. If I want to make relationships a priority, then I need to learn how to hear from all the different dimensions, One, I have to hear the words. And by this, I mean take a moment to focus on the words so that I can take them in. Two, I need to repeat the words. I need to say the words back in the form of a question or maybe just a statement for clarification. Three, I need to watch for the unspoken. Experts say, well, let's face it, experts have a lot to say. But in regards to nonverbal communication, they don't agree on the percentage, but they do agree that most of our communication is nonverbal. And every discerning husband will also agree. Number four, lean in. Lean in when listening because it shows interest. It shows the speaker that you're engaged with the words. And five, be alert to the surroundings. Watch what's going on. Be aware of the other people that are around because that can change how people speak. Be aware of any other type of circumstances that could affect either the message or the words that are being relayed. There are any number of factors that can cause the words that are being said to either be limited or to be the meaning behind the words to be shifted. So I have to be alert to what's going on around me. All of these and so much more, they affect the meaning behind the words. I have to actively engage in listening if I want to hear. I have to be willing to hear others if I want to make room for relationships to become a priority. Hearing is more than words, and learning how to hear can be one of the greatest tools for walking out this life journey. But it is a learned skill. It is one that will need to be practiced, especially if you are a natural-born wordsmith or if you've just developed the habit of speaking more than you hear. You're going to have to retrain. I have to retrain. Sometimes I have to get up every morning and retrain to hear what others are saying and not just to take in words. I need to listen actively. I live in a house full of men, so I understand the importance of active hearing, mainly because I never seem to get anyone around my house to listen when I want. They may hear a few words here and there, but not enough to discern the truth behind the words. I learned early on in my parenting of boys that if they were not looking directly at me, then they were probably not hearing me. If only I had learned that before I had a husband. But that's water under the bridge, and quite a lot of water, quite honestly. But I have taken the lessons I learned from dealing with a house full of men and also a few I have gathered along my life journey, and I've created my five rules or suggestions, if you would prefer, for learning how to hear me. One, I have to hear the words because the words matter. Words have power and influence and sometimes valuable directions. I was explaining something to my oldest son. Something of such importance and value that I can't even remember what it was now, but it was important at the time. And I made certain to choose my words with care so that there would be no misunderstanding or any confusion. My son left the room, and I noticed my husband laughing. When I asked my husband why he was laughing, he told me my son hadn't heard a word that I had said. Now, I knew my husband had to be wrong about this because I had put so much thought and care into the words that I had shared. So I called my son back into the room so I could prove my husband was wrong. Tell your dad what I just told you, I prompted him. Let's just say my son wasn't even close to what I had just told him. Not only did he not use any of the words I had crafted so carefully, but he didn't even have the meaning behind the words. So the first rule of hearing is to actually hear the words. The second rule is to repeat the words. Now, this is a lesson I learned from my husband on more than one occasion. Apparently, we're both such master communicators that we can't talk to each other on some days. And on those days, I'm learning to ask him the meaning behind the words he's sharing. on those days, I'm learning to repeat the words back to him so that I can clarify the words and clarify the meaning that I heard. Because remember, sometimes what he is saying is not what I heard. I make the point to say the words back to him, and the effort, I make an effort to engage the words and the person. So the second rule of hearing is to repeat the words. 3, I have to watch for the unspoken. This rule has gotten many people in more trouble than can be measured when they're sharing their words online or in texts. Certain nonverbal cues just do not translate online. And I'm still learning this lesson myself. I mean, sarcasm can be particularly tricky online. I saw a post from a friend of mine recently, and I made a joke about the post. Only it was a little off the cuff and, dare I say, quite sarcastic. But my friend, she totally missed it. And it's amazing how those little sarcastic nuances can just go right over somebody's head online. And instead of laughing with me at my joke, she took it as a need to explain the substance and validity of the post. Which made it even more funny for me, but I promise I did not respond in kind. When it comes to hearing right and hearing well, I need to pay as much attention to how something is said as I do to the words that are used. So the third rule of hearing is to watch for the unspoken. 4, I need to lean in. I need to move forward in the chair, and I need to uncross my arms and kind of relax, because taking that relaxed posture and leaning in makes the speaker feel like I'm engaged in the words. I learned this lesson from my dad, who had spent years in sales. It was the practice I utilized every single time I had to do an interview. It's one of the reasons I was always successful in my interviews, from beauty pageants to government internships. I try to make a point of utilizing this practice also when I'm sitting in on a talk or at a presentation, especially if the person who's doing it seems nervous or uncomfortable. Because when I lean in and I engage their words, it seems to calm their nerves and makes it easier for them to continue with the words they need to share. So the fourth rule of hearing is to learn to lean in. 5, be alert. Because the words that are spoken rarely are the whole message. So I need to be alert to the situation and the things swirling around the words. I remember sitting in a mass communication class and listening to the professor ramble on about the most of what we say is said without words. In other words, he was explaining that the highest percentage of communication occurs nonverbally. And all I could think of was, duh. I mean, seriously, I just finished high school and I survived. And anyone that gets through that gauntlet understands that words are only the surfaced story. The words that are shared are usually only the tip of the iceberg, and it is what is underneath the surface that ends up sinking ships. So the fifth rule of hearing is to be alert to what lies beneath. Learning to hear is about much more than just listening to words. There are times that engaged hearing will require all of the senses to really get to the heart of the words and the meaning underneath the surface. When I learn to hear, then I set up a strong foundation for making relationships a priority. I also set a standard for growing those relationships by being so engaged and invested in the words that the other person is sharing. And this allows me to take the relationship to the next level of growth. But I have to be willing to hear. I have not always practiced the art of hearing. Back in my more argumentative days, and do not ask my husband when that was, because he'll tell you yesterday. But in the days when I enjoyed a good argument, I rarely listened to the words that were being shared in those moments. Instead, I was busy putting together my own words that needed to be shared in rebuttal. That type of passive hearing, or really it should be classified as unhearing because I'm not really hearing anything, it never assists in the growing of relationships. Never. I can assist in the destruction of relationships because I'm more focused on me than I am on you. And that shows you how unimportant you are to me. I need to focus. I need to pay attention. I need to develop the skill for hearing so that I hear what is being said by the other person instead of just getting caught up in my own words that I think need to be released. Growing up, I heard all too often, and I'm sure there's a reason why, but I was told there was a reason God gave me two ears and one mouth. But I took it as a challenge to find a way to talk more and make up for the deficit. I am certain that was not how they were saying it to me, but that's okay. I heard what I wanted to hear. But Scripture is not silent on the call for me to be silent. Although I don't think it calls me out by name, but there are days when I would not be surprised. However, James states it pretty plain in James 1:15 when he says, "Wherefore, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath." Now, this is from the King James translation. First, I need to be swift to hear, not swift to act, and not swift to respond. The word "hear" in this verse refers to hearing in various senses and even includes the definition to understand. That kind of hearing does not happen unless I'm actively engaged in the listening process. When I am making the most of the two ears and keeping the one mouth shut, then I can be in a position to hear in that way. I notice that James also points out that when I am swift to hear, to be hearing with my various senses, then I will be slow to speak. And when I am slow to speak, I will be slow to wrath. Hearing does more for me than just help create a priority in relationships. Hearing, this kind of active hearing, makes it possible for me to squash strife before it can even get started. Proverbs touches on a similar idea that James shared. In Proverbs 18:13, Solomon, most likely Solomon, says, "He that answers a matter before he hears it, it is folly and shame unto him." Again, this is from the King James translation. I did not have to read the scripture very many times before it started to sink in. I mean, it was a driving force as to why I quit being challenged to speak more, and I began to choose to be quiet instead. There are days when I am a stellar success in being quiet and just listening. And there are also those days when I am not so much of a how-to example as I am a warning. When I get my hearing right, then I get the rest of it right. Or at least I get it more right than I would have gotten it if I had let my tongue run free. I need to practice hearing. The engaged hearing that allows me to understand more, that allows me to see below the surface. If I want to make relationships the priority they need to be in my life and for my life. Thank you so much for joining me for this hearing episode of Growing Hope. I look forward to connecting with you more and learning about your journey. Please email me at radio@katherinelang.com and share with me what you're doing and where you're going and how it's going. I would also love to connect with you on social media. You can find me all around the internet as Katherine C. Lang. On Facebook, I'm the Katherine C. Lang. On Twitter, it's at Katherine C. Lang. And on YouTube, it is the Katherine C. Lang. You can listen to all the syndicated broadcasts of Growing Hope by visiting www.katherinelang.com/on-air. Hearing each other allows us to see more than we could see if we didn't take the time to be engaged in hearing. The words that are being shared are not the whole story. And active hearing requires that I take the time to engage the words and then look for that whole story. And when I begin to see that whole story, I begin to understand more about you and about your journey. And through that engagement, I develop the relationship that will allow me to grow up with you. I am Catherine Lang, and I am your Rainbows and Lollipops host, because every day holds a promise of more, and every action contains the power of possibility. It's not about what the world says or even what the world shows. The strength of hope and encouragement will and does push through the limits and walls of the world. My prayer is and always will be that the words I share are helping establish foundations of hope that will shatter the delusions of the world around us. Be blessed and be a blessing.
Thanks for joining us this week for Growing Hope with Catherine Lang. Catherine is a leader in encouragement, a networking specialist, and your Hope Smith extraordinaire. To learn more about Growing Hope, visit Catherine's website at www.catherinelang.com. That's www.catherinelang.com. Catherine is also available to speak or teach at your next event. Use the contact form on the website or email Catherine with queries or questions at contactus@catherinelang.com. If you are looking for more hope and inspiration for your week, you can sign up for the Reflections column that mails out each Sunday at www.catherinelang.com/reflections. And be sure to join us back here each week for Growing Hope, where Catherine shares her heart for encouragement and her vision for hope. Until next week, keep watching for that place where your heart is open to pursue the extraordinary.